All right, we're in Numbers chapter 25. Look down at your Bibles at verse number 6. It says here, "And behold, one of the children of Israel came and brought unto his brethren a Midianitish woman in the sight of Moses and in the sight of all the congregation of the children of Israel, who were weeping before the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And when Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, saw it, he rose up from among the congregation and took a javelin in his hand. And he went after the man of Israel into the tent and thrust both of them through, the man of Israel and the woman through her belly. So the plague was stayed from the children of Israel." And the title of the sermon this morning is "When the Plague Was Stayed." When the plague was stayed. Now, this morning, I'm going to preach the final installment on the subject of vaccinations. And last year, or a couple months ago, I preached a sermon entitled "When the Priest Shall Look Upon the Plague." This is going to be the second installment of that for our documentary on vaccinations. Now, before we get into the story in Numbers chapter 25, let me give you just some introductory statements just to set a foundation, a platform for what we're about to talk about this morning. First and foremost, what is a plague? We see in Numbers chapter 25 a plague taking place. Now, how can we define a plague today? Well, a plague is simply an epidemic disease or a pestilence that causes a high mortality rate. That's what a plague is. Now, when we think of plagues, we often think of the plagues, the famous plagues found throughout history, right? You have, for example, the Justinian plague in 541 AD, where it reached the Byzantine capital of Constantinople and literally was destroying at least 10,000 people a day, where the mortality rate was so high, they literally had to stack the bodies into buildings or just leave them out in the open. This is a plague. How about the bubonic plague, also known as the Black Plague in 1347, that killed as many as 50 million people, more than half the population of Europe? How about the Italian plague in 1629 that killed about 280,000 people, including over the half the residents in Verona? How about the Great Plague of London? And the list can go on and on and on. This is what a plague does. These are the consequences and the repercussions of a plague spreading out through a population. These were pandemics that consumed entire countries, continents, and societies at large. Everyone was affected by this plague, whether innocent or guilty, righteous or wicked. No one was spared from a plague. Good people died and also bad people. Because when a plague hits, what happens? It affects everyone. It affects everyone. Now, here's the thing is that plagues are mentioned in the Bible. Okay? And when you study plagues in the Bible, it's very interesting. There's actually two types of plagues found within the Word of God. Number one are those caused by uncleanness, okay? You will primarily see this in the book of Leviticus, and when God gives instructions to the priesthood to quarantine someone who has the plague of leprosy, for example, because of its contagiousness, they understood the repercussions of the plague of leprosy, and they understood that it was due to the fact that someone was unclean. Now, but the vast majority of the plagues found in the Bible are actually, for example, in the book of Exodus, which most people are familiar with, the plagues that fell upon Egypt. But you also have the plagues throughout the Bible and in the book of Revelation where God is pouring down his wrath upon the earth. So keep in mind, these are the two types of plagues that we see in the Bible. Those caused by uncleanness and those caused by God. Those caused by God because of a nation's blatant rebellion against him and his word. You know, the plagues in Egypt, perfect example of that. Because of the fact that Pharaoh hardened his heart towards God, what did God do? He sent plagues that destroyed the people. We see the plagues in Revelation because of their wickedness, because God sends them a strong delusion, because of their hatred for God, he sends what? Plagues that destroys the land. You're in Numbers chapter 25. We'll go back to go to Numbers chapter 16, if you would. Numbers chapter 16. So there are plagues caused by uncleanness, the plague of leprosy. But there are plagues that have nothing to do with the diseases. There are plagues that have nothing to do with the pestilence. Sometimes it's just the wrath of God upon a nation. Let's see an example of that. Look at number 16, verse 44. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, get you up from among this congregation, that I may consume them as in a moment. And they fell upon their faces. And Moses said unto Aaron, take a censer, and put fire therein from off the altar, and put on incense, and go quickly into the congregation, and make an atonement for them, for there is wrath gone out from the Lord. The plague is begun. And Aaron took up as Moses commanded, and ran into the midst of the congregation, and behold, the plague was begun among the people, and he put on incense, and made an atonement for the people. And he stood between the dead and the living, and the plague was stayed. Verse 49, now they that died in the plague were 14,700 beside them that died about the matter of Korah. And Aaron returned unto Moses unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and the plague was stayed. What do we see here? We see God's wrath being poured, but what do we see this is defined as? A plague. Go to Numbers chapter 31. Numbers chapter 31, if you would. Numbers chapter 31, if you remember the story of Balaam, the son of Beor, who was a false prophet in the Bible, we see that Balak was trying to curse the children of Israel, and he wanted to use Balaam's preaching to do so. Balaam could not curse the children of Israel because God had not cursed them. What did he do instead? He taught the people how to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols, and what happened? The plague, the wrath of God, fell upon Israel because of that. Look at verse 16. Behold, these caused the children of Israel through the counsel of Balaam to commit trespass against the Lord in the matter of Peor. And there was a plague among the congregation of the Lord. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 28. What do we see when it comes to plagues? What is the main factor? What is the main thing that we see? The main factor, the main element between plagues that having to do with uncleanness and plagues having to do with God's wrath? Death. Death is always the result of the plague. Well, that's God's wrath. That's not a plague. Death is the result of that, of both of them. That's why it's called a plague. Look at Deuteronomy 28, verse 58. And just keep in mind, in the Bible, because we are Bible-believing Christians, you know, we regard the science when it coincides with the Bible. We regard popular opinion if it coincides with the Bible. We regard, you know, any type of knowledge as long as it submits and coincides with the Word of God. But once it goes outside of the scope of the Word of God, it's rejected. Amen. And let me say this, is that God specifically says that these plagues will come upon a people who disobey His Word. Look at Deuteronomy 28, verse 58. If thou wilt not observe to do all the words of this law that are written in the book, in this book, that thou mayest fear this glorious and fearful name, the Lord thy God, then the Lord will make thy plagues wonderful. Now, by the way, that doesn't mean like beautiful. You know, today we think, oh, that's wonderful. Look at all these people in church. This is wonderful. Wonderful simply means that it'll leave you in wonder. You know, you ever seen some catastrophe and it leaves you with your jaw dropped? It just leaves you speechless. That means that event was wonderful. It caused you to wonder at the catastrophe that just took place. This is what God is saying. Then the Lord will make thy plagues wonderful, and the plagues of thy seed, the children, even great plagues and of long continuance and sore sickness of long continuance. But what is it? Why is it that that came upon them? Well, if you will not observe to do all the words of this law that are written in this book. God says, if you choose to disobey, disregard, completely rebel against the Word of God, this is what's going to happen. And look, Jesus Christ is the same today, yesterday, and forevermore. Amen? Amen. This has not changed. This concept has not changed. God has not changed. God is immutable. There is no shadow of turning with Him. The same thing is taking place today. Whether because of the embracement of abominable practices or just clear violation of cleanliness, plagues are often the result of it. But here's the thing. They both have the same outcome. Sickness, death, and high mortality rates. Oh, but it's God's wrath. What if it's just God pouring out His wrath? We can't consider that a plague. That's God's wrath. They're one and the same. Because the result is the same. The vehicle that they use to get to that destination of death doesn't even matter. Right? The vehicle that God uses to cause that high mortality death rate doesn't even matter. It's still a plague because it causes many to die. Go back to Numbers chapter 25, if you would. Numbers chapter 25. Now, with that in mind, we just read about a plague in Numbers chapter 25. People are dying. High mortality rate. The plague was stayed. It was restrained. It was detained only for a moment. But it was a plague nonetheless. Why is it that it was a plague? Look at verse number 1. And Israel abode in Shittim, and the people began to commit whoredom with the daughters of Moab. And they called the people into the sacrifices of their gods. And the people did eat and bow down to their gods. And Israel joined themselves unto Baal Peor. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel. What do we see? God is ticked off. Why? Because they're worshiping other gods. That's why. His anger was kindled. Verse 4, and the Lord said unto Moses, take all the heads of the people and hang them up before the Lord against the sun, that the fierce anger of the Lord may be turned away from Israel. Oh, hold on a second. I thought God is all love. I thought God is love. It's in the Bible. Take all the heads of the people and hang them up before the Lord against the sun? This is very grievous. But it shows you the severity. It shows you the depth of God's anger because of the idolatry in the land. Oh, I think he overreacted. I think he wasn't, you know, the God of all the earth will do right. He's righteous. And look, to add insult to injury, look at verse 6. So this is taking place. People are dying. People are being hung. The children of Israel are weeping because of the plague that's going throughout the land here. To add insult to injury, verse 6, and behold, one of the children of Israel came and brought unto his brethren a Midianitish woman in the sight of Moses and in the sight of all the congregation of the children of Israel. So while this is happening, this guy's like, oh, I don't care. Grab me a Midianitish woman. They go into the tent in the sight, in front of God and everyone, who were weeping before the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. Verse 7, and when Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, this man's got stones, amen? This man's got a backbone. When Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, saw it, he rose up from among the congregation and took a javelin in his hand. Now, let me just remind you, when it says in front of the whole congregation, that means the whole congregation saw it. But when Phinehas saw it, he actually did something about it. You know, everyone sees the elephant in the room in the United States of America. Everyone sees the sin that is plaguing the country. Everyone sees all the abominations that are being embraced. We're just waiting for Phinehas to stand up and actually do something about it. He rose up from among the congregation and took a javelin in his hand. He's not doing the Olympics here. This javelin is for a different purpose. Verse 8, and he went after the man of Israel into the tent and thrust both of them through, the man of Israel and the woman through her belly. So the plague was stayed from the children of Israel. What did he do? Human shish kebab. That's what he did. Oh, that wasn't politically correct. Well, the plague was stayed. The plague was detained. It was restrained from going any further because one man stood up and actually did something about it. Something that was politically incorrect. But look at verse 9. And those that died in the plague were 24,000. How many people had to die because of this blatant disobedience to God's word? This is a vivid description of our society today. This describes and portrays, it illustrates the United States of America today to the T. Let's talk about the plagues of today. Could we see how this took place in the Old Testament? We see this how it took place with the children of Israel. Why is it that this plague came upon them? How many people died and what this person had to do in order to refrain it from going any further? But let's talk about the plagues of today. And before we get into the physical plagues, such as vaccines, let's just talk about the sin that is plaguing our land today. You know, the Bible tells us in Matthew 24, you don't have to turn there, verse 11, and many false prophets shall arise and shall deceive many, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. What is the Bible telling us here? Well, Matthew 24 is a chapter dedicated to end times Bible prophecy. And in the end times, perilous times shall come. Is it going to get any better? No. It's only going to get worse. The Bible says that iniquity shall abound. It will grow. It will just completely abound and permeate every aspect of society. Nothing's going to get better in this side of eternity. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 3, if you would. Well, I just think if we just can get the White House on our side. Hey, the answer is not in the White House. It's in the church house. Amen. The answer is not in your Savior, Donald Trump. It's in the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And look, I'm all for the Constitution, but the answer is not in the Constitution. It's in the Word of God. Amen. It's in the King James Bible. Amen. This is where the answer is. This is where we need to redirect our focus to. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 1. This know also, don't be ignorant, that in the last days perilous times shall come. Skip down to verse 12. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. Well, I just think if we just get a Bible-believing Christian into the office. You know, I just think if we could just convince these politicians to go in our favor. I want God's favor. Yeah. Forget the politicians. Yeah. Bunch of lying devils. Yeah. I want God's favor. I want Jesus Christ's favor. Yeah. Why don't you want the politicians' favor? Because evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. Yeah. Deceiving and being deceived. Hey, that sounds like a politician right there, right? They promise you something, then they don't deliver. That's called deceiving. Then what are we supposed to do? What are we supposed to do? Look at verse 14. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. We're to be Christians. We're to continue in the Word of God. We're to continue in doctrine. Hey, we're to continue winning souls to Christ. We're to continue exposing wickedness, wicked agendas, nefarious agendas against God's word, and if it costs us our life, so be it. Amen. You know, these plagues in our countries are due to the direct disobedience of God's word. Okay? You know, what plagues are you talking about? How about STDs and venereal diseases? How about chlamydia and gonorrhea? How about all these venereal diseases that are plaguing the land of the United States of America? You say, well, what's the what disobedience is that? How about don't fornicate? Yeah. A society that completely propagates, promotes, glorifies fornication, sex outside of marriage. What is the result of that? God's wrath, God's plagues that come down in the form of HIV. How about the embracement of sodomy, transgenderism, all the filth and the smut that comes from Hollywood? Right. What's the result of that? Death, plagues. This is the result of the direct disobedience to God's word. The plagues that are in our land, the plagues that are plaguing our children and the next generation, it's because the pastors of today have not risen up to speak against it. Against drunkenness and smoking pot, drug addiction, and all the filth of the world, the pastors are too afraid to stand up and actually say what's supposed to be said. To preach the whole counsel of God because they're afraid to offend anyone. Well, you know what? We're afraid to offend God. Amen. That's what we're afraid to do. Sin is plaguing our societies, yea, even our churches. False doctrine infiltrating churches. To put a bushel over the truth. Where pastors who have the word of God say, well, you know, vaccines aren't in the Bible. We just want to be neutral on this. You know, God loves homosexuals. God, you know, they put all kinds of words in God's mouth instead of just listening to the words that are coming out of his mouth. Infanticide, that's a plague. Abortion? This is a plague.
Yep, that's right.
Thousands upon thousands of children being murdered on a daily basis. The innocent are being thrown into the fire. They're being murdered, killed for money. And what is the world doing? They're grabbing their Midianite-ish woman, taking them into the tent, acting like nothing's ever happened. This is the plague of our nation. And you know what? Pastors who get up and say, well, abortion is wicked. Well, you know why? You know why abortion is being accepted? Because you never talked about it. That's why.
Right.
You may not like sodomy, but you know what? If you would have preached harder on the sodomites, they would have stayed in the closet where they belong.
Amen.
Let's talk about vaccinations, though. This is a plague.
Yeah.
Well, we should be neutral on this, you know? Let's just talk about preaching the gospel. Let's talk about the love of God. Hey, the Bible has everything that pertains to life and godliness.
Yeah, right.
The Bible has everything. The Bible says that all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, and instruction in righteousness.
Amen.
We can't compartmentalize God and His word and say, well, we only do God when we come to church. No, God is for everything.
Amen.
The Bible pertains to everything. Go to Deuteronomy 28. Deuteronomy chapter 28. Yeah, but vaccines aren't in the Bible, though, Brother Mejia. Pastor, you're out to lunch with this. There's nowhere in the Bible. I know vaccines are unclean. I know all the ingredients found within vaccines. I'm against it, but you can't say that it's in the Bible. Look at Deuteronomy 28, verse 58. We just read this a bit ago, but we're going to continue to read. It says in verse 58, if thou wilt not observe to do all the words of this law that are written in this book, that thou mayest fear this glorious and fearful name of the Lord thy God, then the Lord will make thy plagues wonderful, and the plagues of thy seed, even great plagues, and of a long continuance, and sore sickness, and of a long continuance. Moreover, he will bring upon thee all the diseases of Egypt, which thou wast afraid of, and they shall cleave unto thee. By the way, just a side note here. You know these mosquitoes that have been showing up? Bringing like the dengue fever? You know the fevers and the diseases that America is afraid to contract that was prevalent in other countries? Oh, guess what? It's here. Verse 61. Also, every sickness and every plague, which is not written in the book of this law, then will the Lord bring upon thee. Until thou be destroyed. Hey, there's your vaccines, buddy. Well, it doesn't say vaccines. Yeah, that's why he put the ones that are not even written in this book. Because he knew you were going to say that. So even the filth that is placed into vaccines, all the harmful elements, all the plague that is found within them, God says, I'll bring that upon you too. Just in case he missed any other diseases, let me just say that everyone that is not found in the Word of God, I'll bring upon you. You know what that means? We can give credit to God for those as well, for allowing those to permeate our society. Well, you know, okay, but vaccines aren't that harmful, though. Get your flu shot. Flu season's coming because vaccines are not harmful. Well, that's funny. You know, then why does it cause inflammation? Why does it cause cell death? Why has it caused cancer? Why is it that 1 in 20 below the age of 5 have experienced seizures after receiving a vaccine shot? Why is it that 1 in 10 or 1 in 50 have autism? Why is it that 1 in 6 develop nerve development disabilities? Well, I guess they are harmful. Yeah. Why is it that the National Childhood Vaccine Injury in 1986, why is it that the Watchdog Court has paid over $7 billion in the past 34 years for vaccine injuries, if it's so safe? Why do they have to make a law that you cannot sue them if you're injured by a vaccine, if they're so safe? It's a lie. It's a blatant lie of the devil. Vaccines are wicked as hell. What is a vaccination? It's a substance that is made to stimulate the antibodies in hopes that your immune system will fight off future viruses in the long run. Okay? So they say. But here's the thing. If you study the ingredients found within vaccines, if you actually do the research, you will come to the conclusion that these people are out of their minds. Amen. If they expect you to receive the unclean elements and tissue that they place within these vaccines. How about animal tissue? How about baby fetuses? Fetal tissue that they place into the vaccines. So they think in their minds, this science, science falsely so-called, they think by putting an unclean thing into a clean body that they will make it clean. But remember this, look, I'm not a scientist. I'm not Dr. Pastor Bruce Mejia. I'm not a pediatric physician. I never went to doctor school, and I never claimed to be. Oh, what are you? You're just like a Bible-believing Christian? Got that right. Amen. So guess what? My standard is not your stupid science. Amen. My standard is not your science falsely so-called. What is my standard? The Bible. Amen. And the Bible tells me in Job 14:4, who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean thing? Not one. Who can bring a clean thing? Who can bring someone that is whole out of something that is filthy and vile? Not one. That's what God says. Chicken embryos, monkey kidney tissue, aborted fetal tissue. How about aluminum? They place aluminum within vaccines. And aluminum is a light toxic metal. It's a neurotoxic metal. How about the emulsifiers that they place within vaccines in order to keep all the elements together and keep them from separating? Like what? How about glyphosate, which is a pesticide? Yeah, you know pesticides? You know what we use to, like, destroy all the pests? They put that in your body. How about polysorbate 80, which disperses all the ingredients evenly? He said, what's wrong with polysorbate 80? Polysorbate 80 is so powerful that it's able to infiltrate the tight junctions in your body, your brain. It's able to bypass the blood-brain barrier. Well, that's not bad. I mean, yeah, but it's just, you know, it's not. Yeah, but here's the thing. Polysorbate 80 strongly attaches itself to neurotoxic metals such as aluminum. So when they put polysorbate 80 and aluminum together, polysorbate 80 opens the blood-brain barrier. He has the key. The aluminum goes right through the door. And what does it cause? Neurological damage. This is what they're putting in vaccines. Triton X100, which is a surfactant used in cleaning products. How about formaldehyde? Well, can you put the cookie on the bottom shelf? When someone dies, okay, when someone dies, in order to preserve the body, you know, so it doesn't rot, so you can have the viewing, the funeral, they use something called embalming fluid. Embalming fluid is formaldehyde. This is what they're putting in your bodies. So they're putting something they would use for dead people into you. They have to neutralize these things with embalming fluid in order to create an adjuvant to aggravate the immune system, what they call the Holy Grail antibody response. This is why flu shots exist, for example, okay? But the problem with this is that its presence amplifies its voice. And it's such a hyper-violent amplification, your own body actually begins to destroy itself. So in order to fix one situation, they just completely destroy another. Well, I don't even think flu shots work. Why are you afraid of the flu anyways? Drink water. Look, if you drink nothing but soda and you eat McDonald's, be afraid, be very afraid. Right? If you eat all kinds of junk food and you're not taking care of yourself, be afraid. But look, drink a lot of water, take a lot of vitamin C, and even if you get it, you just get stronger. What doesn't kill you makes you stronger. Amen. Stay home from work and rest and good to go. Fetal tissue. Why do they use fetal tissue? Because fetal tissue is robust and can cause the virus to multiply. You know, these are foreign substances that do not belong in our body. They use thimerosal, which in its organic form is known as ethyl mercury. Mercury, you know, when there's a mercury outbreak, they just quarantine it because it's so deadly, yet they put that into your body. They just put this really fancy name, thimerosal. Get your thimerosal today. This is the science. Oh, but you know, that's not real science. This is the science, buddy. And look, doesn't matter how much you say it's not the science. Doesn't matter how much you try to voice your lies and say and try to demonize people who are anti-vaxxers. No matter what you say, it's the science. It's fact. But you know what? I got one on you. I don't care about the science. I'm a Baptist. Sorry, sucker. That thing don't work on me. I have the Bible that tells me this is wrong. Let's just throw all the elements out. Let's, how about just the baby fetal tissue? Oh, wrong. Done. Oh, but what about the thimerosal? Wrong. Even if they didn't use all those elements and they only used the fetal baby tissue, it's done. Off the list. What does the Bible say about these things? Because we're Bible-believing Christians. You say, what about the people out there that are anti-vaxxers, but they're not Christian? They better get saved. Yeah. They better start getting into the Word of God. Yeah. And look, the Christians who are saved, those who do have the Word of God, guess what? Open your eyes. Yeah. See what the Bible actually says about this. Let's just go to Jesus. Yeah. What does Jesus say? He says, they that are whole have no need of a physician. Amen. This should be everyone's flu season's life verse. How are you feeling? Good. About to go get my flu shot. Why? You're whole. Amen. Whole means you're healthy. Jesus said, they that are whole have no need of a physician. You know what's the most healthiest people in this world? Newborn babies. Amen. And yet those are the bodies that they try to inject all this filth into first. Hey, when a baby is birthed through its mother's canal, it receives its first vaccine shot right there. I'm talking about the natural vaccine right there. It receives that which is necessary in order to have a robust and a healthy immune system when it's birthed through the canal. And then as it grows up, it's exposed to the elements, and its body begins to fight off naturally what God intended him to fight off. God's way is always better, amen? You know, how about when the Bible says, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. You know, putting aborted baby tissue into your body is an unfruitful work of darkness. How about when the Bible says that the life of the flesh is in the blood? How about when the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 3:16, know ye not the year of the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. That's the plague. You defile the temple. And look, let me just say this. I know probably the vast majority of the people who are here have been vaccinated. Let me just rephrase that. Half of the people who are here are plagued. Myself included. I will suffer the consequences of the actions of the previous generation, even though it wasn't my choice. In my latter years, I will suffer those consequences. But who cares? I'm saved, baby. Amen. But you know, the Bible says, if any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. 1 Corinthians 6:19. What? What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? Oh, it's my body, my choice. Says these wicked feminists who want to just abort babies like nothing. No, it's God's body, therefore it's God's choice. More so, if you are a Bible-believing Christian, it is God's body, it is God's temple, therefore it is his choice. In Numbers 25, we see that Phinehas stayed the plague. He detained it. He refrained it from going any further. The son of the priest had the gall, had the boldness, had the stones to actually get up and do something about it when no one else wanted to. He inhibited the devastating effects of that plague. How can we do the same? That's what we want to know, don't we? You know, they just passed this law up north, the so-called mandatory vaccinations. And look, if you're afraid, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power of love and a sound mind.
Amen.
Perfect love casteth out fear.
Amen.
And you know what this law is going to do? It's going to cause Christians to actually start practicing the Bible.
Amen.
It's going to cause Christians to actually start homeschooling their kids.
Amen.
It's going to cause Christians to stop depending on the government for their needs. Stop depending on the government so that the government doesn't impose these unbiblical laws on them. Oh, what if they just start forcing vaccinations? Well, I got the resurrection.
Amen.
But we need to know how to stay the plague, how to restrain it, how to hold it back, because the plague is spreading and we do want to restrain it. Let's look at what Phinehas did and what we could do to emulate his actions. Go back to Numbers chapter 25, if you would. Numbers 25. These principles apply to any of the plagues that are corrupt in our society today, but we're going to apply it to vaccines, okay? What can we do to hold back this plague? You're like, man, I'm scared. What about my children, though? What if when I die, the society that my children are going to grow in? You better instill a strong faith into your children now. What can we do? Number one, look at verse 7. And when Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, saw it, he rose up from among the congregation. Number one, you better rise up.
Amen.
You better opinionate what the Bible actually says about this. You better stand up and stand in the gap, make up the hedge so that we can refrain and restrain this disease and this plague from going any further. Hey, we need to stand up and teach churches and pastors the Bible does say something about this.
Amen.
And look, with any aspect, any topic in society, the Bible has the answer for it.
Yep.
And we need to stand up for everything.
Yep. Right.
Anything that the Bible tells us to stand up for, we need to rise up and say something about it.
Amen.
Even if it cost us our life, if it cost us finances, if it cost us our home, we just need to rise up
Amen.
From among the congregation. Let your life count for something.
Right.
Don't waste your life away.
Amen.
You only have one life to live. You only have one opportunity to do something great for God. Why not take it?
Amen.
Stand up to the forces of darkness. Stand up to the wicked, evil men of this day. Stand up to these things. Rise up from among the congregation. And look, I believe that our entire church here is on board
yeah.
with this with this
yeah.
subject.
Amen.
And look, if you weren't on board before, you're probably going to be after this sermon.
Oh, yeah.
Like, dang, I already got my flu shot though. Well, rise up and get your butt out of that hospital. The Bible says in Ezekiel 22, verse 30, and I sought for a man among them. It's sad when God has to look. That should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found none. So that means in this day there's a bunch of weakling weenie Christians, specifically men, some limp-wristed politician Republican Baptist who vaccinates all his children, doesn't want to speak against it, just trying to earn a paycheck for himself. Not doing anything about it. He couldn't find anyone. I would hope that today in 2019, God could look down and say, well, there's a church right there.
Amen. Amen.
Not just one, but many people within that church that are willing to stand in the gap.
Amen.
To rise up among the congregation and actually do something about it. What I'm saying is this, don't be afraid.
Amen.
Don't be afraid. Amen. And look, if you're afraid, this is what you do to overcome the fear of the potential repercussions. And look, we're in California. I get messages all the time like, aren't you scared? Aren't you afraid you're in California? They're like in these conservative states. People are messaging me like, we're moving. We're getting out of here, man. I was like, oh, yeah, because the plague only stays in California. It's only confined to California, right? It's not going to find you in your state. Do you know that whatever state you're going to, it's still in the United States? Unless you go into some island. But look, God can find you anywhere. Moving doesn't solve the problem. Standing in the gap, making up the hedge, solves the problem. The Bible says, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. Well, let me reread that through the lenses of people today. To show himself strong in the behalf of them who vote the right person in. To show himself, yeah, strong in the behalf of them who vote for Donald Trump. Nay. Nay, my brethren, whose heart is perfect toward him. Herein thou hast done foolishly, therefore from henceforth thou shalt have wars. What am I saying? We need God. But the way we show God that we're depending on him is that we rise up. Quit yourselves like men, the Bible says. Even if you're scared. Even if you're scared. Stand up. Look what it goes on to say. In Numbers chapter 25, it says, and when Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, saw it, he rose up from among the congregation and took a javelin in his hand. This was his weapon of choice to solve the problem. And guess what our weapon of choice is today? It's not a gun. It's not muscles. It's the word of God. And look, I'm going to say this. It's not even science, the right type of science, which I'm for. We need the Bible is what we need. My people, the Bible says, are destroyed for lack of knowledge. You know what knowledge he's referring to? The Bible. You want to guarantee your destruction? Be ignorant of the Bible. You want to guarantee your obliteration? You want to guarantee that the plague comes upon you faster than ever before? You be ignorant of the Bible. No, I want to read the Bible. I want to study the Bible. I want to love the Bible. I want it to abide and to just flourish in my heart because I want to be knowledgeable. Amen. We got to take the javelin. Amen. Not the ballot. Now, who's the next, conservative politician? By the way, just newsflash, Republicans, Democrats, both the same. Yeah. Same people. So if you're not Republican, you're not Libertarian, you're not a Democrat, what are you? A Christian. I'm a Christian. I vote Jesus every year. It's not our vote. It's not our so-called liberty to vote. It's the word of God. The hope for our country is not in the White House. It's in the church house. The Bible says in 1 John 2:14, I have written unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because ye are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. You see, Satan is behind this agenda, is he not? Of vaccinations. And let me just say this. Vaccines, infanticide, they're all small components to the bigger picture known as the New World Order. Vaccines have been permeated in our society in order to make society docile. To not be able to think for themselves. To just depend on the government to make them foolish and stupid and ignorant. That's why they exist. Why? Because the greater picture that they have is the New World Order. That's what it is. That's why I'm telling you, it's not going to get better. What do we want to do? We want to stay the plague as much as we can. This is for the New World Order. We need to take the javelin of God's word. We need to read it. We need to study. We need to despise not prophesying. We need to love the Bible. But not only that, we need to face this thing head on, right? Look at verse 3. And he went after the man of Israel into the tent. And said, hey guys, look, this is really bad. You guys shouldn't be doing this. Or maybe this is not a good time. Maybe I could come back later. And thrust both of them through. The man of Israel and the woman through her belly. He faced the problem head on. Everyone's weeping. Phinehas says, Give me a sec, I'll be right back. I gotta go take care of something real quick. You see, how do we face the problem head on? We preach it and we expose it. And we're not unashamed of it. We preach it from the housetops. And look, vaccines is not the only sermon we preach here. We're not fixated only on vaccines, but you know what? It's an issue right now, so that's why we're talking about it. But we hit on every subject. Why? Because we're trying to face the problems and the plagues of our societies head on. Oh, what if they come and interview you or something and, you know, they want you to backtrack? No backtracking here.
Amen.
No backtracking here. They'll crucify you like Jesus, right? But here's the missing element, because this is all important. The missing element is that we need to do it for God. You know why? Because when it comes to the topic of vaccines, the people that come to our mind are who? Our children. We love our children. They're valuable to us. They're precious. We love the babies. We love the infants. My children, I love them. I can't express the depth of love I have for my children and how much joy they bring to my heart when I see them, when they smile, when they hug me, when they say, Dad. It's a great love. But at the end of the day, I have to love God more than I love my children. Because that is what's going to stay the plague. You know why? Because the Bible says that if we're a respecter of people, for a piece of bread, that man will transgress. Because we love our children, because we love people, if we're not careful, if we don't love the Lord with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, we'll use unbiblical ways to fight off things, the things of darkness. It has to be for God. Let me give you an example. Look at verse 10. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, hath turned my wrath away from the children of Israel while he was zealous for my sake among them, that I consume not the children of Israel in my jealousy. Wherefore say, behold, I give unto him my covenant of peace, and he shall have it, and his seed after him, even the covenant of an everlasting priesthood, because he was zealous for my God, for his God, and made an atonement for the children of Israel. He was zealous for God, and that's why God honored him. Amen. I love my children, but I want to make sure that my prime motive is my love for God and my zeal for him. I want to fight the darknesses of evil for God. This is the only way we can guarantee the safety of our children, is that we put God first. What if they come and take your children? What if they kill your children? So be it. What if they take you? So be it. Take my life. Why? Because at the end of the day, we want to honor God. Our zeal should not be for our children. Though the primary zeal should not be for our children, it should be for our God. This is how we can guarantee that we will find our lives if we're willing to lose it. That's how. That's a difficult task sometimes, is it not, parents? But if we want to stay the plague, it's the necessary one that we have to take in order to do it. Last point is this. By the way, do you remember the plagues in Egypt and how devastating it was upon Egypt? Many people died, destroyed. Who are the only people that were not destroyed? God's people. They lived in a place called Goshen. Where's Goshen today? 2600 Tyler Avenue.
Amen.
It's here. This is Goshen. Goshen is in your home. Goshen is anywhere where you put God first. That's Goshen. What do we do when the plague eventually comes? Because it will come. We can stay it. We can fight against it. But it's going to come. Guaranteed. It will come. Or what do you do if you're already plagued? I'm plagued. What if my body has already been corrupted? Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, if you would. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Pastor, what do I do if my body has already been corrupted? Well, you can go through some procedures that can remove the heavy metals from your body. You can start living a healthier life, which I'm all for. But what do we do as a whole? if I've already been corrupted? Look at 1 Corinthians 15, verse 42. I got the perfect answer for you. Because you know what? Eating healthy is great, but it's not the final answer. Because the Bible says that bodily exercise profiteth little. Verse 42, so also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. Skip down to verse 50. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood, you know, that blood that has all those neurotoxins, all the vaccines, all the aluminum, all the formaldehyde and thimerosal, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. So you're in good company. Neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. What do I do? My child has been corrupted by vaccines. If they're saved, if you're saved, we shall all be changed. We shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. This is a promise from God. That if you're saved, you've been corrupted, or if the plague comes in your next generation, you know what you need to do? You need to get your children saved.
Right.
You know what you need to do? You need to get saved. You need to trust Christ as your Savior in order to guarantee the resurrection for you to be changed one day. Verse 53, for this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, vaccines is swallowed up in victory. No, death is swallowed up in victory, which would include what vaccines do. Oh, death, where is thy sting? You know, the sting of the injection. Oh, grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Let me just say this. The victory, folks, is not in politics. It's not in your vote. It's in Jesus Christ. Because it's coming. The plague is coming. And remember in the beginning of the sermon? Plagues are no respecter of people. They will destroy the just and the unjust, the wicked and the righteous, the guilty and the innocent. Think ye that they were sinners above all everyone else? But except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. What do you need to do? You need to get saved. And if you are saved, well, glory be to God, because you will experience the resurrection. Yeah, but the government. Well, actually, the Bible says that in the millennial reign, the government shall be upon his shoulders. Jesus Christ will be the government. And no one, the Bible says, no one will harm in his holy mountain. I'm done here. What is the sermon for today? The sermon for today is that there is a plague that we cannot stop from actually taking place at the end of the day. We can detain it, we can hold it back, but eventually it will come. And what we need to do is instill the faith of the Bible, instill our faith in our children, because guess what? You're not going to be here when they see it flourishing. You're not going to be here when it comes to pass. But you know what will be here? The faith that you place within them. And if you're afraid, fear not. We got the resurrection. We have eternal life. We have the incorruptible body that we will put on one day. We have the spiritual body. But look, if you're not saved, there's something that awaits you far worse. There's something that awaits you far worse than whatever vaccines could ever do to you. Hell awaits you. Hell awaits you. So aside from the repercussions of vaccinations, hell awaits. Let's be like Phinehas. Rise up, take the javelin, face the problem head on and be zealous for God. Amen. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you so much, Lord, for the example that we have in Phinehas. Our country is getting worse and worse, and the plague is spreading. A lot of righteous people are going to perish because of it. But I pray, God, that you'd help us to allow this to help us to have an eternal mindset, to help us to recognize that we have a resurrection awaiting us where this corruptible body filled with harmful elements, substances, things that are just destroying our body, that will soon be changed. And I pray that if there's anyone out there who's not saved, who doesn't know, maybe they have this conviction, I'm not getting vaccinated, that they would get saved. Because at the end of the day, this is what's most important, is the salvation of the soul. And you've told us, fear not him which can kill the body, but afterwards can do nothing. Fear him which is able to kill the body and soul in hell. And I pray, God, that this would reach the masses in order to do so, to place their faith in you, in your son, Jesus Christ. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.